always, we're going to try to learn something from the Parsha. And like I tell you guys all the time that no matter how old you get, the more you learn the same thing, the more insights you see, and the more your life is enriched. So you can have a five-year-old child learning Chumash, and it's interesting, he learns something from it, and he can understand it at his level. And then you have a 95-year-old man who's seen the same parasha literally thousands of times, and he's always able to find new insights. So every year you learn, and I assume that everyone here goes through the parasha, and there's a lot to learn, so that's what we're going to try to do, learn one little section of the parasha. So it says here, we know at the end of last week that Yaakov is now running away from Esav. He's a little bit afraid of his brother. And where does he go? He goes to the land of the Easterners. I guess New York, Boston, that part of America. Get it, the East Coast. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field. That's how you know that I am reading from a translation of the Chumash, because we don't say behold anymore. He looked, and behold, a well in the field. And behold, so much to behold, three flocks of sheep lay there beside it, for from that well they would water the flocks, and the stone over the mouth of the well was large. So here you have the picture of flocks of sheep and the stone on top of the well. All the flocks are assembled. What they would do is they would roll the rock off. It was a big, heavy rock. And then they would drink. So Yaakov walks over and he says, "My brothers, my machai, where are you from?" And they said, "We're from Haran." And he said, "Oh, Haran, what do you do when you meet a Jew?" "Oh, do you know?" I said, "Oh, where are you from?" "I'm from England." "Oh, you know, from England." I used to remember we used to have in, back in the day, I used to attend the yeshiva in the neighborhood here. And we had a Russian program. This is about 1991. They had a big aliyah from Russia. And it was like very special. I remember they had a big bris milah one time. All the big Russian guys had a bris milah. And once I was talking to a Russian, not chas shalom, making fun of Russians in general. I make fun of Russians, not Russians. So one of the Russian guys said, "Oh, where are you from?" "Oh, I'm from New York." "I'm New York, New York. Do you know my cousin Alexandri Yasyesko from Brooklyn?" So obviously, if you're from New York, then you must know my cousin, right? So, no, I don't know all the Jews in New York. So he said, "Yo, you're from Haran. Do you know here it says Leben. I guess he's the thing you eat for breakfast. Do you know Laban, the son of Nahor?" And they said, "We know." Then he said, "Is it well with him? Is it well?" "Ah, Rachel is coming with the flock." Okay. And then he said, "Look," this is Yaakov speaking now to the shepherds, "the day is still long. It is not time to bring the livestock in. Water the flock and go on grazing." That is what Yaakov Avinu said to these fellas. He said, "It's not, what are you guys sitting around for with your sheep? It's not the end of the day yet. Water them and keep grazing." And then they explained to him, "Oh, we can't do it because, you know, the flocks have to gather and then we all need to get together, and then we know that Yaakov is a strong man," and he took the rock off the well. So Rashi says, what was Yaakov telling them? Yaakov was saying that since he saw them squatting, this is Rashi, he thought that they wanted to gather in the mikneh, they wanted to gather in their sheep, and they're not going to work anymore. So he said, "The day is still young." It used to be a song, "The night is still young." But he said, "No, the day is still young." In other words, if you're workers, then you're paid to work by day, and it's dishonest for you to stop working. And if the animals belong to you, it's still not time to gather in the flock. That's what Rashi says. Rashi says, he was telling him one of two things. Listen, if you guys are hired workers, then you're being paid, so you have to do an honest job. If you're not hired workers, meaning if the animal belongs to you, the animals belong to you personally, then it's still daytime, so why aren't you working? Okay? So the Mefarshim don't understand. What is imagine that. Imagine you walk, you're in a totally new town, and all of a sudden, you start walking around giving people muslim. That's what Yaakov Avinu is doing. He's never been here before. He walks in one day, and all of a sudden he just says, "Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen." Well, I don't know how many ladies there were. Well, Rachel's in the way. But he says, "Guys, You're doing something where there's something very terrible is going on over here. Either you should still be working for one of two reasons. Either because it's dishonest what you're doing, or because it's, even if it belongs to you and it's not a matter of dishonesty because they're your own sheep, but you should still be working because it's daytime. So the Mefarshim don't understand what Yaakov is sticking his nose into their business for. So the Sforno adds over here. Sforno is a good commentary. It's not so long. Printed on your Mekoros Gedolos Chumash. The Sforno says, "Hey Neiro Ore Yom Gadol." Still, the day is still young. Hatzadik Yimas Es Ha'Avel. Tzadikim hate dishonesty, or they hate improper behavior. Gam Kein Ela Nachrin. Even when a Jew, if you're a tzadik, which I'm looking at least 200, if you're a tzadik, then you cannot take it when people don't act appropriately. When somebody is doing something which you think is morally wrong, you can't handle it. That's what a tzaddik is. Even a guy. You see a guy, you walk by a pub, a bar, right? And you see a guy just getting drunk and acting wacky. You can't take it like that. That's inappropriate. You hear him using nibble pet. It says in the Tana de Baal Yel, one of the reasons that the mabul came was because goyim used nibble pet. Even there were goyim. There were no Jews back then. So even goyim aren't allowed to speak inappropriately. So he can't take that. That it's an abomination when tzaddikim see that somebody's acting inappropriately. Okay? So that's what the Sforno says. So now we have to think a little bit. Remember, there are two possibilities. What's one possibility? One possibility is that they're stealing. Okay? What's the other possibility? What? What'd you say, Eliyahu Meir? There's still more time to work. Is that an avel? Again, an avel is when somebody is doing something wrong, something morally wrong. Is there anything more? That's what Rashi's saying. Rashi's saying you're doing something, and the Sforno. A tzaddik can't take it when somebody's doing something morally wrong. So stealing is morally wrong. You're not allowed to steal. Okay? Is a worker who owns his own animals, he's self-employed? If you're self-employed, is it immoral to stop working before the end of the day? The answer, of course, is no, it is not immoral. You can do whatever you want. I'm self-employed. Why do I want to be self-employed? So I can do whatever I want. Right? That's why. So if I want to end my workday at 1:30 in the afternoon, I'll end my workday at 1:30 in the afternoon. I'll be Israeli, as not all Israelis, but some Israelis are. I'll buy a bag of pitzuchim of, what do you call those things in English?
Sunflower seeds.
Thank you, Adam. I'll take the sunflower seeds. I will put them in my mouth. I will do whatever. I don't know what they do in their mouth because I don't think I've ever eaten one. But I will do whatever they do. I guess I'll suck it. I'll kiss it a little bit. Okay? And then I'll take it and then I'll throw it on the street. Right, just to give the Arabs what to do with their time so they can clean up our sunflower seeds. Okay, that's our way of showing them, I guess, who's boss. Okay, I'm not advocating littering, but that's what some people do. Okay, so I'll eat sunflower seeds, then I'll watch the afternoon soap. Do they still have soap operas? Why are soap operas called soap? Is there anything clean about soap operas? And there's always dirty stuff going on. Why do they call it soap operas? And why operas? Are there fat ladies screaming at the top of their lungs? No. So therefore, that's the kasha, which I'm not going to answer in this year, because I don't have an answer. But I want to get back to Yaakov. What is immoral about Yaakov, about a guy ending his day early? He's self-employed. And from here, my sweetest friends, I want you to open up your ears. Baruch Hashem, your ears are automatically open. That's why a lot of guys, when I give a shiur, guys close their eyes. Their ears I've never seen. Unless they do the old ksubas trick by going like this, right? It says in the Gemara, that's why you got to put your fingers in your ears. You know what the Rashi is saying and the Sforno are saying? They're saying that if a person is wasting his time, that is immoral. Because there are two ways of being immoral. One way of being immoral is to steal. Another way of being immoral is to waste time. So what is Yaakov Avinu saying to them? He's saying, guys, either way, something is very wrong here because it's still daytime. If you're stealing from your boss, you can't steal from your boss. If you're wasting time, even though you're self-employed, even though you have every right to do whatever you want, but you're just sitting here doing what? Nothing. Yaakov Avinu couldn't take it. He couldn't take it. Who is Yaakov Avinu? What is Yaakov Avinu doing in his life? Yaakov Avinu is sitting in his mother's womb, okay? And who's his Rebbe? Who's Yaakov Avinu's Rebbe? In the womb, who's your Rebbe? You remember? You guys remember? You're closer to it than I am. The Malach, the angel. Okay? You're learning with an angel. Yaakov Avinu, whenever he would go by a shul, what would he do? He would kick out. Why? Because Yaakov Avinu said, I don't want an angel to just spoon feed me. I want to work it out on my own. Okay? So then he gets to, he already wants out. Okay? Then afterwards, he's learning in the Beis Medrash of Shem and the Beis Medrash of Eber. How many years did he go there for? We all know. 14 years. And what was Yaakov Avinu's sleeping schedule during the 14 years? Zero, right? He slept before and he slept after, but not during. Okay? Whatever that means. So, Yaakov Avinu, 14 years of toiling. And then, after that, he went to work for Laban. He went to work for Laban. What type of work did he do? He said to Laban, he said, "Bayom achalani," what's the lashon of the pasuk? During the day, achalani chorev, v'kerach balayla. And at night I froze. I worked day and night, non-stop. During the day I was boiling, at night I froze. By the way, the unculus. Anyone does unculus? You should do unculus. The unculus of Kerach Balayla's Glida. Ice cream. But it doesn't mean that Yaakov spent his nights eating ice cream. No, no, no. It means that during the day, Yaakov Avinu was working hard. And then at night, Yaakov Avinu was also working hard. So after learning hard for 14 years, then he worked hard. That's why yeshiva is a good preparation for life. If you can do well in yeshiva when your day starts at 7 a.m. and ends at 1 a.m. or 12 a.m., then you can do well in the outside world where the days are a lot shorter. So he prepared himself 14 years in the yeshiva of learning. And then afterwards he had 20 years of working. And then, after that, it says, he went also, Chazal say, to get his wife, right? Who is his wife? Rachel. So it says, sometimes your wife comes to you, and sometimes you go to your wife. Whose wife went to him? Yitzchak, right? They brought Rivka to Yitzchak. Who went to his wife? Yaakov. Yaakov went to meet Rachel. So therefore, you see from here, again, the same idea. What was Yaakov's midah? Yaakov's midah was to go get him. Yaakov didn't rest. And then after that, it says that, listen to this Rambam, right? It says in the Rambam that you have to be very careful not to steal if you're an ani. You have to be very careful not to steal from your boss and not to waste any time when you're working. Right? Why? Where do you see this? Because Chazal said that a worker doesn't say the fourth bracha of benching. What's the fourth bracha of benching? From Hakel Avinu, Malkeinu Adireinu, right after Baruch Adah Hashem, Bonei Rachum Avishalayim, Amen, until Hayi Chasreinu. How long does it take to say from Bonei Rachum Avishalayim until Hayi Chasreinu? How long does it take? Is anyone listening, or I'm talking to the walls? You know, they always say that there's a minhag for kalas in Yerushalayim that on the day of their wedding they go to the kotel. They have their wedding, they go to the kotel, a minhag like that. So what's the source of the minhag? So one of the explanations given is that she should get used to talking to a wall. It is. So in the same way, sometimes that's the way I feel. So how long does it take? I'm sorry, are they all there? You answered my question? It takes you to Arya, you said 20 seconds? You can go 20 seconds from Hakel Avinu until Hayi Chasreinu, you're a tzaddik. Most people I know do it in about 4.2. Right? That's the way it goes. I don't know if you're Baruch Hashem Hazana Solam, Bashalom. It takes, if you're Ariel, it takes 20 seconds. If you're someone else, it takes 10 seconds. And if you're like a big tzaddik, like maybe the Parish, you know, walks around the yeshiva over here, maybe it takes him a minute. But I don't think I've ever heard anybody do it in a minute. From Akela Vinu, Malkeno, Adirena, Brainer, Wasam, Shagwiz, Roma, Tom, Joy, Edmund, Malcolm, Zion, Tom, Tulla, Serena. That's it. Nothing. And Chazal said, you're not going to say that bracha if you're a worker. Why? Because you have to work for your boss. And when you're working, that means you're working how long? Every second. And where do we learn that from? So the Rambam says, so we learn that, that's what Chazal say about a worker. V'chein chaya lava b'chol kocho. When you work, you have to work with all of your energy. Shere Yaakov atzadik. Never seen that expression anywhere else. Usually Yosef is called a tzaddik. But the Rambam calls Yaakov a tzaddik, maybe because he's talking about the context of honesty, and that's what it means to be a tzaddik. It means to be righteous, justice, honesty in business. That I worked for your father with all of my koach, And therefore it says that he got a lot of reward in this world. So we see that Yaakov was a man of work. We learn from Yaakov, you have to work from all your energy. We learn from Yaakov, you have to learn work from day to night. And there's a Gemara in Bava Metzia on Daf Tzadik Gimel on the base. Also, there the Gemara says that Yaakov Avinu was working extra hard, more than the normal, that more than the norm. That was Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu was a man of works. When you work hard, and you never waste a second, and then you see somebody wasting time, you can't take it. So Yaakov Avinu saw these guys, and he said to them, it could be that you're self-employed. But how can you just sit around, you understand? How do you sit around doing nothing? Have you ever seen anybody sitting around doing nothing? Yaakov Avinu, he couldn't understand. How is that possible? There's an interesting story of the Ger Rebbe. The Ger Rebbe's name was the Imre Amos. So the Imre Amos is the Rebbe during, before World War II. So one time, he was makban on every minute of his day. He had a Seder Ayom. Every single minute was accounted for. How long did it take him to eat a meal? 7 minutes a meal. I guess he would have 3 meals a day. What would he do during his meal? One daf gemara. In other words, he had a 7 minute seder to eat lunch and learn that daf of gemara. So I assume that he had a quick head. Okay? 7 minutes, and then every single minute of his day, he had chavrusas came in, his children, his grandchildren, he had his own things that he would do, he would prepare, whatever it might be. Every single minute of the day was accounted for. So one time, another rav set up a meeting with him, and we said, we'll meet at this and this time and this and this place. So he gets there, and the rav comes 5 minutes late. So the Emres was very upset at him. And he said to him, you wasted an hour of time. So what do you mean I wasted an hour of time? I was 5 minutes late. He said, yeah, but there are 12 of us. You know, and you're a Rebbe, you go with your whole entourage. So he had his whole entourage, 12 people, 5 minutes per person, and that's an hour. That's 60 minutes. They still have that show? 60 minutes? They have a show on TV. They wasted time. You're wasting 60 minutes. Because for the Imre Amos, every minute of life, as it should be, every minute of life is valuable. Right? Person wastes time. There's nothing worse than wasting time. We'll see in a minute. It says in the Medrash, in the Avos Rabbi Nassim, it says, let's say you have nothing to do. Let's say you have nothing to do. You know what it says to do? It says, go to your field and just start picking things up. Take stuff from one side of the field to the other side of the field. Just do something. As the Medrash says, don't not do anything with your life. What happens if you're, let's say you're rich. Let's say you're rich and you can afford help. Right? So what's your wife going to do all day? Nothing. So you know what the Gemara says in Ksuvos? I know you're old. Everyone's learning Ksuvos. Right? So what does it say to do? It says, always make sure your wife is doing this, your wife is doing this, your wife is that. Right? So Rabbi Eliezer says, even if you have 100 shvachos, let's say you have 100 maids, you should still make her do something. Why? She should still make tzemer. Because if she doesn't do anything, what is she going to do? The Gemara says, zima. What is zima? Licentiousness. Nus. If the woman isn't doing anything, that's the worst, because that's going to lead her to avera. Okay? So sometimes when you're doing nothing, it leads you to avera. And let's say there's another opinion in the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that if you make a neder that your wife's, you're not going to get enough from your wife's work, your wife's not doing work for you. So that your wife, you make a neder, your wife's not allowed to do work, you should already give her a ksuba and get rid of her. You're not allowed to be married to her. Because you can't have a woman not doing work. Why? Because it says, because batala brings to shiamum. It brings you like to boredom. So the Gemara says, l'may nafkamin. In other words, we have Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer said, make sure your wife works, because it's going to bring to licentiousness. The other one said, make sure your wife works, because it's going to bring to shiamum, to like boredom. So the Gemara says, but what's the difference? Both of them say your wife has to work. So the Gemara says, the nafkamina is, if she should play chess and play with the dogs. Why? Because if she's playing games, it's going to bring her to zima. Because you know what happens? You know they're playing games, and they start being flirtatious, and then we all know the end, right? But it's not shiamum, because at least she's doing something. So in other words, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you shouldn't have her play games, because if she plays games, it's going to lead her to immorality. But according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, you should have her play games, because at least she's doing something. She's playing with dogs. She's playing chess. She's using her mind. She's doing something. At least have her do something. So what does Rabbi Shimon Gamliel hold? An unbelievable chiddush. Better she do something which might lead her to do an Aveira, than to do nothing. Nothing, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, is the absolute worst. So the ideal is to have your wife, we should all be zelka and have enough money that we can hire 100 maidservants. I'll be honest with you, I don't even know, my apartment's so small, I don't know if I'd be able to fit 100 maidservants. Maybe they're all really skinny, right? We should have enough money to afford 5 maidservants. They can also probably do all the work in the house. Today we have machinery, right? If you have maidservants, make sure your wife isn't idle, right? I don't mean idle that you bow down to, I mean IDLE. But Rabbi Shimon Gamliel goes so far as to say, even have her play games, even have her play chess, Monopoly, whatever it might be, and not, even though that might lead her ultimately to sin, but not to sit around doing nothing. Sitting around doing nothing, from Chazal's perspective, was the absolute worst possible klal. That's the bottom of the bottom. It says in the Torah, it says in the bracha, it says, Upanisi aleichem and b'chukosak. It says, if you learn Torah, I'm going to give you a bracha. What's the bracha? Upanisi aleichem. So, Rashi there says it means that I'm going to, panisi means I'm going to turn aside from everything I'm doing and I'm going to give you a reward. However, one of the great Hasidic rabbis, the Beis Yisrael, who was the Ger Rebbe, who was the Imre Amos' son, who I mentioned earlier, he says, you know what panisi aleichem means? He said, I'm going to give you panai, I'm going to give you free time. Right? Because a person, if you learn Torah, the bracha is, I'm going to give you free time. So somebody asked him, if it's true, if free time is a bracha, then how come when God curses the Jewish people, and he says, if you don't learn Torah, then he says, also, upanisi aleichem, I'm going to give you, that also means I'm going to give you free time. Right? According to that logic, according to that explanation, free time is a bracha, but free time is also, how do you explain that it's also a curse? What's the answer? So the Beis Yisrael said, that's exactly the point. If you know how to use free time, if you know what to do with your time, it's the biggest bracha in the world. And if you don't, if you're not learning Torah and you waste your time, so that's the biggest curse. That's the curse that God's giving you. The curse God's giving you is that you're going to have free time and you're going to waste your time. What is time? Anyone ever thought of the idea of time? We say somebody wastes time. Can you waste time? No. Time just passes by. You're not wasting time. What do they call it in Hebrew? Wasting time? Bittul zman. How are you mevatel zman? So it's interesting. Zman, the way we look at it, is not the way zman, the way Kabbalah looks at it. You know what Kabbalah says time is? Take a day. Every single day, according to Kabbalah, has a tremendous amount of potential. Every day of your life. In other words, today is not the same as yesterday. And when you go upstairs, every single day is going to have to be accounted for. There are no makeups. Like, you can't say, I didn't do anything on Wednesday, but on Thursday I'm going to do double. You can't say that. Why? Because Thursday has its own avoda. On Thursday, I have to do on Thursday. You can't make up for Wednesday. And Thursday doesn't have the potential Wednesday had. And next Thursday doesn't have the potential of this Thursday. Every day, that's what it says, I think, in the Zohar. It says, Avram was old Baba Yamin. What does it mean, Baba Yamin? He never wasted a day. He took advantage of every day. That's it. You miss a day. What does it mean you miss a day? It means that for eternity, you're missing the day. Meaning that day is potential. It's raw potential, like money. What's money? Money is a stupid piece of paper with a picture of a guy who generally, most bills I have in my pocket anyway, I've seen handsomer. They could have put better looking on them. What is money? Money is potential. Right? What happens if you take fire and you burn money? You burn potential. What happens if you take time and you kill time? That time had a tremendous amount of potential. It's a reality. It's a creation. Before the world, was there time? There was no time. God, when He created the world, He created time. And every second you have is potential. When you waste that, then that is now gone forever. It's interesting. The Baalei Mussar look at life also a little bit differently than we would look at it. We think that a person's alive, 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 and then he dies. The Baalei Mussar say it's not like that. They say life is like an hourglass. What happens? Put it like this. And then all of the sand starts going through, okay? Little by little. And it's not that all of a sudden there was just no sand. At first there was sand and then there was no sand. No! For the first 3 seconds, a little bit of sand, then a little bit of more, then a little bit more. So he said, that's life. We think we live until, we'll give us a good lifetime, 95, and then we suddenly die. But our rabbis teach us not like that. Every day is life, and then when that day passes, that day is dead forever. There's no, that opportunity is missed. If you missed it, then it's missed. There's tshuva. We're not talking now about somebody who does tshuva. But you missed that opportunity, now it's gone forever. So if you say to somebody, how old are you? So you can say, I am 18 and a half years old, dead. Dead. In other words, remember you were 16? It's gone. It's gone forever. You're never going to be 16 again. You're never going to be... Every opportunity you had when you were 16, you're never going to have again. So you're going to say, no, I'm going to be extra specially good now and make up for all the time I wasted when I was 16? Doesn't help. Because when you were 16, that was your opportunity to do, make the best of that time. And this time, that's a completely different opportunity. And now you go through this year, and then it's not a year, a minute, a day, a half a day, an hour, a minute. You have a minute. This minute has potential. What potential did this minute have? Eternal potential. And then you waste it. Where did the minute go? You literally destroyed it, and now it's gone forever, and it's never coming back. You ever notice that? That the time that sometimes you want to turn back the clock? So you can do that. You can play all the games you want with the clock, but it's not going to help. Because time just continues moving whether we like it or not. And the Gemara talks about if you set something aside for a purpose, does it already become holy? Like, for example, you're not allowed to use a tefillin bag for your own purposes. For secular purposes. But let's say I made a tefillin bag and I just set it aside. I set it aside as a tefillin bag. Am I allowed to use it? But I haven't used it yet with my tefillin. Am I allowed to use it or not? So what's that called in the Gemara? I'm sure everyone here learned Sanhedrin, at least with the Malach. What's that called? Hazmana Milsa. Hekdesh, that's the base of Mikdash. But it's called Hazmana Milsa. I'm glad that the people even behind my head are listening. Hazmana Milsa. What does Hazmana mean? Setting it aside. It means an imitation in modern Hebrew, but it means setting aside. Zman means setting aside. What are we setting aside? It's time. What are we setting aside? What are we setting aside? Can somebody explain what we're setting aside? What? Every second is eternity. If you take advantage of the second, you get eternity. If you don't take advantage of the second, you lose eternity. So every second is a preparation for eternity. Don't you realize in Hebrew, that's what the word zman means, time? Time, in English, is time. I don't know what time is. It's a sound we make, so we know we're talking about time. In Hebrew, in Judaism, in Lashon HaKodesh, you know what time means? Time means I'm preparing for eternity. That's what time means. How do people relate to time? I got plenty of time. I got plenty of time. No rush. And because a person has plenty of time, they can waste time. Wasting time. My sweetest friends, you know, sometimes I walk around this yeshiva, and I wonder, why are so many people wasting so much time? So then I step back, and I say to myself, wait a second. Last year, a lot of people were smoking pot. And this year, they're not smoking pot. Now, is that a good thing? That's wonderful. So if last year you were involved in such destructive behavior, and this year you're no longer involved in such destructive behavior, you've taken a step forward. And you should feel good about that step forward. So even if you're staring at the wall and you're not doing that, so I definitely think that's a step forward. Last year, some people were involved in physical relationships with girls. And this year, I don't know if everyone stopped completely, but at least in the dorm, your possibilities are very limited for physical relationships with girls. So this year, you stopped. Unbelievable. If this year you're more careful, even if you're not totally keeping the halachos, but if you're more careful, you should feel good about yourself. 100%. Last year, a lot of people weren't benching. Like a boy once told me, one of my favorite boys in the yeshiva ever. Spectacular boy. From day one. We used to learn together. Spectacular. He said to me that when he came to yeshiva, he had to get used to benching without ritzei. Because when else do you bench if not on Shabbos? Right? And then he got to yeshiva, and then he said, oh, you don't say ritzei. Usually you have to remember to say ritzei. But he had to remember not to say ritzei. So 1 second. He's benching now, even on a Tuesday? Even without a shira malos? Now, there are a lot of people like that. There are a lot of people who, before they put food in their mouth, are making a shahakal. Last year, they didn't make a shahakal. So the truth is that I tell myself, self, a lot of people have made a lot more strides this year. You like that? I tell myself that a lot of people have made a lot more strides this year, maybe, than I have. And who am I to talk? People have gained a tremendous amount. A lot of people are putting on tefillin every day. So in the yeshiva, you get in trouble if you don't daven at all, or if you come late to davening. But the assumption is that even the guys who miss davening might get in trouble, but at some point during the day, you know, before 6, 7 p.m., they put on their tefillin. So to put on tefillin every day is tremendous. So if you've made any of those strides this year, you should feel great about yourself. Every guy in this room, I'm sure, almost, okay, is learning more Torah this year than he did last year. Right? Last year, maybe you learned 10 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day. If you went to a really good, serious high school, 25 minutes a day last year, you were actually sitting and learning. I'm not exaggerating. That's what I really think. This year, everybody is learning more. There's no question about it. So you should feel good about yourself. You're doing a lot more, and there's a Makom Kedusha, than you did last year, and you're growing. And that's all we ask, is that you grow. However, since we're a yeshiva, and we're not just a drug rehabilitation institute, or, you know, try to get people off of destructive behaviors, we also have aspirations. We want you to be great. You know, they told in the about Rav Avram Shapiro, who just died, the chief rabbi, right, because one of his talmidim came to speak to you. He once told his talmidim a story that the Chafetz Chaim once walked into the Beis Medrash in Radin, and he said to his talmidim, he said that Napoleon once went and he gave a speech in front of the army. Right, Napoleon Bonaparte, the famous French general, who was the only person who could understand Rashi in the original when he uses those Laz words. Napoleon walked into the Beis Medrash. Napoleon stood in front of the army, and he says, any guy who doesn't want to be a general, I don't want him in my army. If your entire goal is just to be a regular, plain old soldier, I don't want you in my army. So if you come to yeshiva, and you say, all I want to be is like mediocre, that I don't, you know, beat my wife, I don't end up getting thrown in jail, that I, you know, don't marry a non-Jew, I don't, I keep Shabbos. If that's what you want. You want the bare minimum? But that's not what the yeshiva wants from you. The yeshiva wants you to be great. Now, there are different ways of being great. You could be great, you could be a god of the Torah, you could be a god of the chesed. There are many ways of being great. But when you come to a yeshiva, any yeshiva, I hope every yeshiva, any yeshiva, but certainly this yeshiva, the yeshiva wants you to be great. So you look at a day in the yeshiva, how many hours are there in the day? There are 24 hours. There are a lot of people who of those 24 hours are learning three. Three, maybe four. A lot of guys. So if you have 3-4 hours and it's a 24-hour day, then where does that leave us? They said, wait! How many hours am I learning? Three? That's 2 hours and 52 minutes more than I learned on the average last year on a good day when I was in school and my Rebbe was really watching me. That's so much more. But think about it. 24 hours in the day and you're learning three. That leaves you 21 free hours. What are people doing for 21 hours every day? So people are sleeping. I know a lot of people like to sleep. I told you, back in my day, there were three guys, they had a chart on the wall. Who slept the most? And then they would mark it down each week, how much each guy slept, and then they had a competition. Baruch Hashem, you know, this week, wow, once I had 22 hours consecutive one time. It's a record that, you know, you have different records, how much you can go consecutively, how much you can do like in a 3-day period, week, month statistics. I'm saying you can work it out. Today with computers, standless the possibilities. People sleep. What is sleep? What is sleep? Sleep is death. Why would a healthy 18-year-old want to die? Why would you're 18 years old? Why do you want to die? It's death. You're lying there, and you're just motionless, and you're dead. Well, messes up your hair a little bit, maybe, but nothing. You're dead. So you have to figure out, I have to say like this. I need to sleep 7 hours a night, 8 hours. Get your amount of sleep. You can't do it at night. I always ask the guys, how can you be so tired? They say, because everyone's making noise in the dorm. I've never actually met a guy who makes noise in the dorm. I always meet the guys who can't sleep because there are other guys that are making noise in the dorm. So you get 6 hours at night, and then during the break, you get 2 hours. You have 8 hours, okay? You're down to 16 free hours a day, okay? 16 hours where you're not sleeping. You don't need any more, and if you do, you need a psychologist, because only depressed people sleep to escape life. I know when I was a kid, I wanted to play, and then I learned when I was about 13 or 14, it's cool to say I want to go to sleep. And then I got a little more mature, and I realized that's idiotic, okay? But what you think is cool when you're a teenager, you sometimes realize it is idiotic afterwards. Sometimes what you realize and think is cool when you're an adult, when you're a teenager, you realize that was idiotic. Okay, so, yeah, you're 16 free hours, you're learning three. What are people doing for 13 hours? Let's say you're learning four. 12, what are people doing? You know what the answer is? Nothing. People are doing nothing. And they're wasting time, and that's it. Guys, you don't thrill. It's gone forever. In other words, you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity that you'll never have again. You say to a guy, I'll give you 2 hours, guy's about to die. The doctor walks in, he says, you have two options. You can take this pill and I'll give you another 2 hours of life. Or, don't take the pill, you'll die now. But those 2 hours are going to be 2 hours, you'll be healthy. Won't suffer. Would anybody not take the pill? Everybody would take the pill. Would anybody not pay a lot of money for the pill? You can imagine people would even pay a lot of money for the pill. 2 more hours. So you guys have 2 hours. Give another 2 hours. That's the problem. You have so much time, people have so much time in their hands, they don't know what to do with their time. So what do? They waste it and they waste it and they waste it. And then from time to time they get something. You know, maybe they come to a shear. Even coming to a shear. You know that, Mike, it's not just this year. It's every single year. I've been teaching for 14 years. I have almost never given a shear in my life. Almost never. Where people haven't fallen asleep. I usually have three groups. I usually have one group of people who are actually sleeping. I have another group of people who are looking at me like this. Their eyes are really big. And you can tell they're really trying to stay awake. But they're clearly not with you. Because what I'm saying, it basically looks like they're drugged up. That's what it looks like. Right? And then you have the third group of guys, Baruch Hashem. They took like an 8-hour nap that afternoon. They're coming ready to go. You know, they had two cups of coffee, and they're raring to go. So those are the guys that I like. Not because they took a nap in the afternoon, but because they at least they come to the shir, they're raring to go. And that's the way it is. And I say, I have no time to sleep. Why don't you have any time to sleep? Because I'm wasting my time. That's the correct answer. In other words, I stay up at night until 2, 3, 4 in the morning. I'm on the internet. I'm watching a DVD. I'm making phone calls. Then I get up for minyan at 6, 7. I'm tired the whole day. So even when you're awake, you're not able to focus because you're so tired. And then half the time, you're falling asleep. It happens every single time. So, almost every, just saying, so why don't you go to sleep earlier? The answer is that a person's desire to waste time is greater than his desire to go to sleep to make sure that when he has to be learning, he'll be learning. Because at night people like to mess around, and during the day people like to mess around in the morning, the afternoon. They have 6 o'clock shiurim in the yeshiva. I'm estimating that at least 50, 60 guys don't come to the yeshiva. I don't even know, I'm not even here in the morning. But in the afternoon, what I know when I'm here, I'm estimating that 50, 60 guys don't come to the yeshiva. Shiurim 50, 60, maybe even 70. Now if you have 3, 6 o'clock, you can learn something. You can learn something. Even a guy, you tell a guy, listen, something interesting, something to stimulate your mind. Why not? What are you going to do instead? You know what people do instead? I'll tell you what I see people do. Some people, the tzaddikim, they run to Maariv. They have a 6 o'clock Maariv, right? Because we know it's reason I came in the mitzvah, you want to get to the mitzvah. So they run, so what do they get? So now they can wait, look at their clock for 30 minutes to wait until they can come to dinner early. Because, you know, it's really 7, but 6:50, 6:45, they keep pushing it down. So you can waste a half hour and do nothing. Other people, they just walk around, you know, around the Rova, looking here, looking there, going to get something to eat, right? Other people, I'm sure, are sleeping. Everybody is fine. Why wouldn't one, if one has one, you don't have to do anything. There's no preparation. They try to make it interesting. Why wouldn't one want to come? I'm talking about 50, 60, 70, I'm talking about 50% of the yeshiva are just wasting that hour. And there's always a tzaddik who says, no, I'm sitting in the base medrash learning. Okay? That's the one guy in the base medrash learning, and unfortunately there are a lot of those one guys, right? But think of, why would you, and then you're going to leave the yeshiva at the end of the year, and then what do you have? What do you have? Think about it. I missed this year. I was able to high school, right? What did you do in high school? I was also in high school. What did I do in high school? I said, this is a competition. How much can I get away with? How much can I get away with? I don't want to brag, but I've never met anybody who did it as well as I did. Right? I had one year where I did almost nothing, and then I had the last 3 years where I literally did nothing because I just stopped going to school altogether. They said, how much can I get away with? So I said, I can get away with not doing anything. And I was very proud of myself, and I used to listen to WFAN. So it was very important for me to figure out what some guy, Bob from Queens, thinks that the general manager of the New York Mets, Frank Cashin, what shortstop he should get to make sure the Mets win the World Series next year. That was very, very important. And you spend hours on that, and then you want to see whom Isaiah Thomas is or isn't kissing. So you sit and you listen. He is, he didn't, he did, she said, he said. Then you go through that. Baruch Hashem. Then you go on to other sports and who they're training, who not. And they're discussing and they're discussing and they're discussing it and they're discussing it. And what are they doing? They are wasting their lives away. These people's lives are empty. They have nothing to do with their lives. So they talk about a bunch of people, most of whom are taking drugs, are involved in very self-destructive behaviors. People are miserable. People have empty lives. People have no families. And they're idolizing them, putting them on a pedestal, and they spend day and night talking about them, thinking about them, and then they read. You have a sports section this thick. It's just another page and another page and another magazine, and they're talking about this and about... Why waste your life? What does it matter? What does it matter? He's a Dominican guy. He hit a home run. He hit a ball over a wall. Why should that concern me? Did God create me for a reason? Let's say you ask the Dominican guy, is it possible that a guy learning the Bible in Jerusalem is part of God's purpose for this world? You say, maybe, man. You ask a Jewish guy. Do you think the Rabbonu Shel Olam cares? Do you think they care how much that big fullback on steroids, how many times he gets in the end zone? Why should he care? You have 11 big guys, and they pump iron all the time, and they eat a big diet so that they can literally man, what's the word?
Handle.
Not manhandle, but
manbreed.
Manslaughter. I don't know, I can't think of the word. But whatever it is, they're trying to destroy each other. Everyone's running after a piece of chazir filled with hot air. Everybody's running and they jump on each other, and then he smashes them down to the ground. He goes, ooh! And then all the other guys crowd around him, and they all give each other high fives. Then he goes to the side. He knows, oh, they're watching. He puts some Gatorade. He puts the oxygen mask on. Why is that important? Why would you want to waste time on that? You know, when I was a kid, of course, like, that was life. It's a waste of time. And that's not your purpose in this world. Not only isn't it your purpose in this world, but it makes you forget your purpose in the world. So let me make myself clear, and then we have to end. Everybody needs time to relax. Everybody needs time to wind down. And you have to definitely take time to sleep and to eat and to play ball and to hang out with your friends and to joke around. Everybody needs to be normal. There's no question. When I say everybody, I even mean big tzaddikim. There's a story about the Chazon Ish. At one time, he went swimming. The Chazon Ish is a very serious Jew. He went swimming one early morning with his friend, and he playfully splashed his friend. They went in the river there in Vilna. Near Vilna, Kosovo. And his friend said, excuse me, the Chazon Ish is being playful? He said to him in Yiddish, he said that if somebody doesn't know how to be playful, they also don't know how to say good Torah. So it says the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. It says one of the kinyanim of Torah, one of the ways to acquire Torah, is to laugh a little bit. So you laugh, it's good. You hang out, you relax, you're normal. But there's a limit. There's a limit. So make it decide for you. So say, listen, even if you're going to waste time, say I'm going to waste time today, because I'm in the habit of wasting time, but I'm going to limit it. It's not going to be 12 hours. It's not going to be 13 hours. I'm going to keep an account of how much time I waste every day. You'll see that it's going to be a lot probably. And then I'm going to say, I am not wasting today more than 5 hours. It's a lot of time to waste during the day. 5 hours. I have 5 hours to do what I need to do and waste time, not only talking about things, exercise and things like this, I wouldn't consider that wasting time. 5 hours to waste, but every other second I'm going to be taking advantage of my time. I'm not going to waste a second. Remember, Mitzal doesn't waste a second. Why doesn't he waste? Because he appreciates time. But you're 18, you don't appreciate time. 18-year-olds, they have all the time, all the time in the world. He's where Moshe Feinstein used to say, everyone has so much time, I would like some of that time. He never has a free second. A person says he can sit in front of the TV all day long. All day long. You know what happens to that day? It's dead forever. What did you get out of it? I'll tell you what you got out of it. You destroyed your brain cells. Okay? You lowered your IQ. Your brain went a little dull. You got tired. You got fatter. Everything bad. You put the machine in your house, and it's a complete waste of time. And I've never heard anyone claim it's not a waste of time. So therefore, I urge all of you, we should learn from Yaakov Avinu. We should learn from Yaakov Avinu to take advantage of our time. And also, again, make time to relax and be normal, but not to waste. Because wasting is an abomination in the eyes of Hashem and Tzaddikim. And if you take advantage of your time this year, guys, it's a guarantee that you will be the Simcha. 2, 3, 4. Idu es Hashem b'simcha, Idu es Hashem b'simcha, Bo levana, levana v'lana. Idu es Hashem b'simcha, Idu es Hashem b'simcha, Bo levana v'lana.